Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome, everyone, to The Thriving Marriage. My name is Heather Choate, and I'm really grateful to be joining you today with my amazing husband, Ben. Ben, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. And we're here with our little baby, Faith. We work from home. I always work from home. So the whole transition here during this COVID-19 pandemic hasn't been too hard on us, except that now we have all 8 children home. Like many of you, school's canceled here, and so we have all of our children home today. So we're going to try to swing it the best that we can, but I really felt strongly like we should have Ben on to share his perspective on how to support and reconnect with each other during challenging times. This was something that you guys asked for us to do here in The Thriving Marriage. And so I really felt like, let's give it a go. Let's try to have Ben on here. But if you hear little baby noises in the background, or if you're watching us live here in The Thriving Marriage as we record it, you may see her cute little face. So Ben may be a little bit in and out, but we're really grateful to have him and grateful to have all of you here today. I just had a message from one of our clients over in Australia, and she's up at 2 a.m. to listen to this live, which is just amazing. Just awesome that you'd be willing to do that. So we honor you and we welcome you. So we're going to talk about what Ben and I have kind of identified. We were having some conversations about what's helped us get through really challenging times in our marriage. And we came up with 4 pillars. We're going to call these the 4 pillars of relationship strength. But before we get to that, as always, we're going to do our client win of the week. And we'll say this one comes from Kristen, name changed here. However, you can see this in the Thriving Marriage group because she posted it there. She says, I just barely got started with this program. And last night, my husband, who had been involved with another woman for almost 2 years, she says, I was unaware, but knew something was horribly wrong, asked me to renew our wedding vows as soon as this pandemic is under control. Says we can just have pastor at the church we married in do it as soon as he's willing if I don't want to wait. I'm on cloud 9. So huge win there. Name changed again to Kristen, but we just want to send a shout out to you for this huge, amazing win. And I know that a lot of people are struggling right now with this pandemic, and we've come to you live here in The Thriving Marriage several times. If you're listening to the recording of this at a later date, we're in like the heart of COVID-19. Hopefully it's the heart of it, right? And you guys have mentioned that there are a lot of challenges that you face because now maybe you're spending more time together. Maybe you're both home together. You've never had that before, that kind of dynamic in your relationship where now you're spending much more time together. Some of you have said that the stress is like, the last straw that your relationship is really struggling. And so how are you going to handle saving your marriage now when you have all of this other stress, economic stress, worrying about the virus itself, dealing with your children, and all the challenges that we're facing at this really, unprecedented time in our history. And some of you have said that this is giving you an incredible opportunity. In fact, I'm going to say it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity because now you're talking more and your spouse may be checking in on you, wondering how you're doing. And one thing that Ben and I have learned, and we'll go deeper into this, is that in these challenging times, when like the whole world just feels like it's completely turned upside down on you, you really have clarity on the things that matter most. You really get clarity on those things you don't want to live without. And that if you were to face the end of your life, the things that you would have regretted if you hadn't done them. And so it really is a blessing and an incredible opportunity that life is presenting us, if we allow it, to use this time to really reconnect and to become stronger. So we've said it before here in The Thriving Marriage, but it really is our opportunity that even despite these challenges, we can come out better and stronger than ever before if we let it. So I'm going to turn over here to Ben and let him share with you. And this is like, we're just going to have a really open conversation with you guys about some of the challenges that we've faced previously in our lives. Because maybe you see us here and you're like, oh, they're so strong. They've never gone through anything hard. They've never had to face what we've had to face. And so we're just going to just really openly share. So Ben, you want to tell them a little bit about some of the challenges that we face personally in our marriage?
Okay. Well, one, obviously, you guys have probably heard, knowing my wife, Heather, in 2014, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 4, while pregnant with, not this one, obviously, but two before this baby here. A pretty trying time, you know. I remember sitting at my desk at work, a little nervous, a little on edge, because I knew Heather was going into the doctor to get the results. Though I didn't believe this could happen to me, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, I got the phone call from her that it was actually cancer and that it was stage 4. Not stage 4, we didn't know at that point, but that it was cancer. And I just remember nothing else really mattered at that point. You know, it didn't matter. At the time, I was an owner of an auto body collision shop down near Durango, Colorado. And my customers' phone calls didn't matter at that point. All the deadlines that I had for insurance companies and rental cars and customers' cars and so forth, they just didn't matter anymore. You know, I kind of got tunnel vision on, oh my word, what am I going to do? What if I lose my wife? What am I going to do with my kids? Stuff like that, you know, the worst and the most horrible things that you can think of at that point come out. So super, super challenging time there to try to manage that and keep my head wrapped around what I could control versus lack of information and knowledge of what's coming. Absolutely trying time in our marriage.
Yeah. And maybe you're thinking like, oh, well, you guys are really strong in your marriage before that happened. You know, whereas like we're like facing divorce or separation or things have been bad for a really long time. And so I just want to give clarity on exactly where we're at. I wouldn't say that we were struggling like that, but we weren't as strong as we could have been. I would say we were in kind of that danger zone of the comfort zone a little bit. Like we'd just been going through the motions of life and then bam, this just hit us out of nowhere. Like I said, it completely turned life upside down for us. The doctors told us we needed to abort the baby to save my life. And so we decided we wouldn't do that and we would find a way to save both myself and our unborn child. And with that, we faced, you know, an immense amount of physical challenges, financial challenges, strain on our relationship, you know, just tested in every single way, emotionally, even spiritually. And so
and I would add to that real quick that, you know, in a time like that, just the floods of information from friends, family, and even acquaintances just comes pouring in, right? Everybody has the right answer for you and what actions you need to take. And, you know, they're doing it out of love, but it sure makes it difficult. Especially when I've got her family members telling us what we should do and she's got my family members telling us what we should do. You know, that can pull you apart as a couple if you let it. Because, well, surprise, I love my parents and I love my brothers and sisters. And she loves her parents and her brothers and sisters, right? So we want to make sure that no feelings are hurt when we don't take their advice, or when we do, we don't hurt the other people's. You know, so all of that kind of comes into this just marble of all these feelings and sensations that are happening in our marriage. And all these other people that are outliers giving the advice, they don't even know what kind of struggles that are being caused by that as well. So, it can be overwhelming if you just allow the outside influences to take control when you just kind of go down the river of life in that situation.
I'm so glad that you just mentioned that, because how well does that relate to kind of the tumult of voices, we could say, that we're experiencing right now, even, you know, in regards to this pandemic, and maybe that you're experiencing with whatever challenges might be going on in your relationship right now. There are so many different voices, there's so many different opinions. There's that fake news, right? There's the hysteria going on. There's people saying, like, you know, the politicians never should have told us about this. We should just go about our lives as normal. You have like that end of the spectrum all the way to, you know, we should never look at another human being like ever again in the rest of our lives if we're going to survive as a species, right? So we've got like this huge broad spectrum. And I've heard so many untruths, right? I've heard so many different opinions, and it's really hard to know what is even true and the right way to go. And that's why it was really crucial for Ben and I, this isn't one of our pillars, but it's coming to my mind right now, that we found clear direction for us personally. We found that spiritually first, and then we found the way that was given to us. We believe in God and in Christ personally, but if you believe in a higher power, that each of us is given that right to find direction for us, and that the right people and the right circumstances lined up. I mean, it didn't feel like it was like this perfect smooth road by any means, but they did. They did show up, and then we found the right direction for us. And when we found that clarity and that peace of mind, that assurance deep within us that, yes, this is the right course for you, and no one else can say that it's, you know, the right or wrong course, all the other voices just kind of fell away, right? And didn't make it easy to go through still, but we were able to kind of cling to what we felt was the right path for us. And so it's so crucial to have those mentors and to have the people along the way to show you the right steps to get you where you want to be. All right, so as you're going through these challenges, going through fighting breast cancer, chemotherapy, you know, radiation, surgery, some of this while I was pregnant, not knowing if our baby would be healthy and well, not knowing, you know, am I gonna make it to be able to have her, all of just that fear and uncertainty, we were able to witness something that is actually the heart of why I decided to create this business with Mark Johnston. You know, he's our international marriage expert. But for me, what Ben and I witnessed was two different types of couples. We saw couples that grew stronger and better and more unified as they went through their own challenges with one of their spouses fighting cancer, because that's kind of the world that we were in there, you know, going to hospitals, being in the chemotherapy ward, you know, just kind of mixing with that, people going through the same challenges. But then we also were shocked, and it was a tragedy to see couples that fell apart during those times. And we saw a couple, my parents' friends, who, you know, they got divorced during the midst of his cancer treatment, and he was alone, and he actually passed away from the cancer. And I know that that can sound kind of rough, like you get cancer, you get divorced, and he died alone. But that was the reality that we saw. And we saw other couples really, really struggle through those times. And so it brings to mind the idea that we choose life versus react to life. And if you think about that word, react, it means to do the same action over and over and over and over again. And we know that that's the Chinese definition for insanity, right? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. But so many times we just move into this like instinctual fear-based reaction mode, and we haven't really developed tools within ourselves or our relationships to be able to then act and decide, this is what I want for my life, this is what I want for my marriage, and I'm willing to go for it no matter what, right? When you have that kind of a decision, a powerful decision, then you're able to really transform things for yourself. So instead of being defeated by life circumstances, like we saw many other couples, and kind of having these challenges pull you further apart, we can become like the second type of couple and allow us to become better and stronger even despite these challenges. So Ben, when we were living in Southern Colorado, you told me about some aspen trees. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And then we're going to show why this is an incredible analogy for helping us be strong in our marriage.
You bet. So, maybe for you guys, it's important for you to notice that I didn't get much alone time to think and process through things You know, Heather was on the bed quite a bit, and I was dealing with the family, and then when I had extra time, I'd go to work. The only time I really had to process things during that time was really on my drives to and from work and to the grocery store. I don't know why this particular time, well, I think we were heading up to Denver, and Heather may or may not have been asleep or something, but we were going up through a canyon, Wolf Creek Pass on Highway 60 here in Colorado. And it's a beautiful pass, lots of aspen trees, lots of just sorts of other trees. And I remember seeing on the side of a hill an aspen tree whose trunk came out of the ground from underneath and then U-turned up. And I stopped and we took a picture of it, and we, you know, it just sparked, what in the world would cause a tree to want to grow out of the bottom of a cliff and then turn up? So after doing some research on it, we found that, well, there are tons of aspen trees like this. Some other types of trees will do it too, but it's caused because of hardship in the tree's life, where when it's growing, it gets tipped over due to mudslide or avalanche or something like that, right? It gets totally knocked down to the ground, and then it picks itself up. It actually contorts its trunk to look skyward again, which I felt was particularly interesting during this time of trial during my life, right, in our life, because we totally felt knocked down. You know, my business was suffering from the effects of it. At times we didn't feel like we really knew where to go, knew what to do. But we did have one thing in common, which helped out a lot, and that was our faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and in family. And that's ultimately what we ended up turning to, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And an interesting thing that we learned about aspen trees, you may already know this, but they're different from many other types of trees, like a pine tree or an oak, is that they share a root system. They have a shared root system, so they're actually like a single organism. In fact, the largest organism in the world is an aspen grove called Pando. And because they have this shared root system, it enables them to become stronger than they would have been if they were just on their own, which is a beautiful analogy to me about the power of marriage and about the power of family, that we are better and we are stronger together than we would be on our own. I know that I would not have been able to handle those challenges on my own. And so relying on Ben's strength when I literally had none was an incredible eye-opening experience for me, and really drove deep into my heart and onto like a cellular level, like a soul level, the power that marriage has. And so that's driven me personally to want to help other people to experience that same beautiful gift that marriage can be. I always say marriage is sacred. It really is. It is an incredible, beautiful power. And as we went through these challenges and I had to rely on Ben, something that I've now learned looking back was the power of our stories. And you've heard it said here in the Thriving Marriage many times that we need to uncover what our spouse's story is about us, right? We need to uncover their narrative. That's the basis of the PATH method. And this is something that hardly anyone else is even talking about. Mark and I weren't even aware of how powerful our stories were until after working with thousands of couples, and we realized there's still something that we're missing. We're giving them all these great tools and everything, but there's still this block sometimes when a spouse still doesn't want to come back, even though you've made all the right changes, you're doing all the right things, you're showing the understanding, and your spouse still doesn't want to come back. And so we realize that we're missing a piece there. We need to help them change that story that they have about us. You've heard me say on the other side of that, that we need to be aware of what our internal stories are. Sorry, I got that baby going. Baby, she's not happy. But we need to be aware of what our internal stories are that are holding us back and that are causing certain things to show up for us again and again and again in our lives. And so as we were going through this experience, those internal stories that I had about myself were challenged, and it was painful and it was hard, but it was beautiful to be able to realize that a lot of the things that I had believed were not true and that I could let those go. So we're gonna go into what we call like the four pillars. We can call them even roots if you want to, like use the aspen tree analogy here of roots being really strong to nourish our relationship tree. and the things that Ben and I have really found that help strengthen a marriage during challenging times.
But before we get into that, if we can be a little vulnerable here, more on your side, are you okay with that?
Of course.
Okay. Just talking about stories, I think this might be interesting to you. Talking about stories that we tell ourselves, right? So early on in our marriage, like in our first year maybe even, I like old-fashioned names, right? So I would call Heather Darling and then Darlin. And it eventually changed into an acronym, really, I guess you could call it, into SMO. That's her nickname now that I've given her, which it evolved from gorgeous to smojus to super gorgeous to SMO. And that's it, right? Anyway, so it has a meaning, right? it's that she's beautiful and more than just outwardly. And I remember during the trials and struggles that we were going through, right? She was completely bald, right? Cut up. She just had a baby, so she's not feeling very gorgeous, right? And we get up in the morning, and I say, "Good morning, Smo," right? And she looks at me like, kind of just, how in the world could you even call me that right now, you know, type of disbelief. And like, you're undermining the entire meaning of that word is kind of the look she gave me, right? But I was just like, no, you are Smo, you know, and that's it. It was interesting to see, because she dwelt on that a lot longer than I did. You know, to me, it was like, wow, she must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed, wrong side of the bed today or something, you know. So I go about my day doing my things, but she ponders it, and she's wondering why it bothers her. And she's recognizing an internal story inside herself about how she believed her self-worth was tied to her outward appearance. And it was interesting to see her go through that journey that I couldn't even help her with much other than just let her know I loved her no matter what. But it ended, I guess it culminated for me in a poem that she wrote for me that kind of outlined how I saw her, or at least the way she felt I saw her, even when she was cut up and maimed and so forth by different surgeries and childbirth and cancer treatments, you know, to what love actually is. There's a lot of couples that when we're brand new in marriage, we think lust, right? Oh, I just have to be with them all the time and stuff like that, right? But we're actually, we misidentify those feelings as love, right? And they are part of love, so don't misunderstand me there, but they're not the long-lasting portion of love, right? Those are more what we would call lusty feelings. And I remember during different times of our marriage, Heather saying, hey, we just don't, you know, it's not that anymore. And she found that through that trial and seeing that, look, I loved her no matter what, and staying together, that's an even more enduring and more important piece of love. And it doesn't always have to be that you're drawn to that it's easy, I guess, is what you'd say, right? That you just wake up and you naturally go and do something for your partner because, well, you're just thinking about them all the time because you're infatuated. Right? No, sometimes you're not going to be, and you're just going to have to pull yourself out of your own self-pity or self-doubts and your own selfish world, and you have to see, hey, what is it that they need and what can I do for them? And that's where the rubber meets the road, right? When it's no longer an infatuation, but it's more a, this is something I want to build into a habit, something I want to become. And that was interesting to see Heather go through, I guess, a realization of my feelings for her were not tied to her outward appearance at all, right? It's really interesting to see that. So I just wanted to share that if you did.
Oh, that's beautiful. That actually goes right into one of the pillars, which is selfishness versus sacrifice. I want to prelude before I go a little bit deeper into that, that we're not saying that this applies if you're in a really unhealthy, abusive situation, that you should just say, it's okay, I'm just going to let this happen, I'm just going to love you, and allow this to be, because we never want to be advocating for you to be in an unhealthy, abusive situation. You need to have love and self-respect and get yourself into a healthy, safe place. What we are talking about is those that aren't in a physically or sexually abusive relationship. Just want to prelude that so that everyone's really clear when I talk about selfishness versus sacrifice. And like Ben said, this experience of being completely mauled, bald, sick, and it went even more than just the physical, but that was a big part of it, that I'm very independent. And I had this belief that I had to be X, Y, and Z to get love. I had to be fit, healthy, beautiful, attractive physically. And I had to be the great mother and the great housewife. And I had to meet Ben's needs and to serve him. And I had to do all these things. And if I didn't meet this certain level, then I wasn't good enough. And I wasn't deserving of love. And I had this fear within me that I carried since childhood that I wasn't going to be good enough. And eventually, if I didn't like exhaust myself trying to be all these things all the time, and I did often exhaust myself trying to be this thing that I thought I had to be, that Ben was gonna leave me, that my partner was gonna leave me. I was going to be not good enough and people were going to leave me. And so that was the story that I had. And then this experience of going through cancer and Ben still loving me and standing by me totally blew that out of the water. And it had, like, Ben gave me probably a lot of credit there of like thinking about it and internalizing it. But you have to realize this is a total, we call it a paradigm shift, right? It was a total, like, my reality was just totally blown up by this experience. What I thought was reality, not true reality, right? The story I had was blown up. And then I was left like, well, what is it really? Like, I've heard about this kind of romantic love, unconditional love, but I'd never really experienced that. I didn't know that it really existed. I felt like that was just a fairy tale and that a mother can love her child unconditionally, but that spouses, no, it's probably doesn't really happen. That's the belief that I had. And it manifested itself for years in me being kind of emotionally distant. I talk about some of the really negative cycles that we were in, where I would not talk about something, bottle up, we'd have to explode, I'd explode it, so then we'd have to face it, and then we'd have to pick up the pieces, and it was just messy. And it was all because I had this internal belief that I wasn't good enough. And so it wasn't until I really recognized that that's not true, I am good enough, and I can receive love as I am, that then I was able to experience that, and we're able to evolve from those negative patterns and create new, beautiful healing patterns. And so, like Ben alluded there a little bit to what we call the three levels of love. The first level being infatuation. Like Ben said, that's like the lust. I'm so like head over heels in love with you. It's the beginning of that falling in love stage, right? Infatuation. We just can't get enough of that person. And while that has a place in marriage, and it should be, I believe every single one of these levels has a place in a good, healthy relationship. It kind of is a shallow form of love, and it's kind of a selfish form of love, because it's all about me and how you make me feel, and I love you so much because of how you make me feel. If you really think about it, that's what it is. You give me so much attention. I feel so like because you adore me, and you're in love with me, and so I'm in love with you, and we both kind of give each other that high, right? And then what happens is we get married, and more often than not, couples kind of devolve from that because it's doesn't usually last forever. It's like, you know, it's kind of like I said, that selfish form of love. And it shifts into what we call the contractual state of love. Contractual being like, it's a contract. I will serve you if you serve me. I love you if you love me. I will do this for you if you do this for me. I'll be intimate with you if you take care of the kids, right? And we get these rules of engagement, right? And oftentimes they're not spoken clearly. They're just these expectations that we have, and we don't really often communicate them. The husband will have, you know, expectations for the wife, and the wife will have expectations for the husband, and then we'll feel like our needs aren't being met, which then puts us into a battle of wills against each other. It often turns into, well, I feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do for me, so now I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do for you, and then you feel that, so then now you're going to withdraw something else from me, and then now I'm going to withdraw something else from you, and it just becomes this really negative cycle, a spiral effect. Mark and I have talked about how you can spiral effect in the other direction, though, as well, as we start to identify each other's needs, build understanding, and work together as a team. Then it can start to move in the other direction. And that's the basis of how to really reconnect and restore a relationship after understanding. We'll talk about understanding in a little bit. But we have a specific order. But Ben went immediately to the three levels of love. So, so we're just going there. And so then that brings us to the third and final level is unconditional love. And that's, I love you no matter what. I love you regardless of what you do, regardless of what you say. I just love you as you are. And that's the deepest, best, most beautiful kind of love. But every single level of love is welcome and needed in a relationship, because we're not always at that unconditional level because we're human. And that would, you know, we're just not. And so in the contractual stage, that's where most marriages end, because we're feeling like we have to fight to get what we want. We don't get enough. And so maybe we should go somewhere else to get what we want. Right. And then our partner might feel the same, or vice versa. Right. And so that stage can be exhausting, because we're constantly trying to get, right? Or we're trying to help meet their needs, but they're not receiving it, right? There's all different kinds of dynamics that we see in that stage. But we can learn to work together as a team. We can learn to understand each other. We can learn to identify each other's needs and meet those needs. But ideally and ultimately, true love in the deepest sense would be that level of unconditional love. And I was able to receive that and to experience that, which was absolutely incredible. And like I said, it just blew up all my stories about what I had to be to receive that. And that I was just good enough as I was. And so things started to really shift for me in that experience. It was very painful and it was challenging, but it was worth it, because being able to kind of let those fall away, you know, like old dead skin, like a snake just shedding its skin, I was able to just let that go, and develop some new beliefs and some new patterns that serve me and us so much better. So really being aware of those internal stories that you have about yourself and how they might be showing up for you in your marriage, and how you can replace those with some new empowering beliefs. That's exactly what we're all about here at High Thrive Coaching, and that's what we help you to do, because it's hard to recognize those and see them on your own sometimes. Sometimes you need some outside perspective to guide you and help you through that process and help you not feel so alone as well. So let's talk a little bit about one of the other roots of understanding. This is the one that Ben and I both came to first. This is the first thing that came to our mind, was communication and understanding. So Ben, why is that? Like, why do you feel like that really helped us go through our challenging times?
Well, I feel like it's actually pertinent to today, because a lot of you are going to be finding yourselves, as I did and as Heather did during our cancer trials, and even right now, right, where roles are shifting, right? Maybe dad's home more, or mom's home more, or whatever the dynamic is. Because we're all quarantined or whatever. So now dad is trying to help out with different things, but he doesn't know as much about where things go in the house and the organization or the schedule of the way things are run. I'm speaking for myself, right? So by trying to be helpful, things actually get messed up, and the kids even say, "Mom doesn't do it that way," and stuff like that, right? So we end up stepping on each other's toes, trying to be helpful and so forth as the roles change. Role shifts, to me, can be one of the most difficult things. As you can see, Heather just delivered this cute little baby in January, and I was blessed to be able to be home from work for a month straight, right? A month straight. And we understood the roles going into it, that I was going to be taking care of basically everything, right? We'd have help with dinners and stuff like that, but I was going to run the house, the kids, and Heather was going to rest with the baby. I understood that fairly well. Not as good at it, but I took the role, right? Where we found that the understanding came in was when those roles started to shift. As Heather's not one to just stay in bed long. She gets really stir crazy. So as she starts getting up and taking care of different things and shifting, I begin to wonder, ooh, where do I fit in here? You know, I thought our agreement was I'm taking care of everything, but actually you're taking some of the roles. So I begin to wonder, and it's subconsciously, I begin to wonder, okay, so is she going to do dinner tonight, or am I doing dinner tonight? And I'm trying to be conscientious of her and not look lazy and stuff like that, right? So it's all these different dynamics going on. When eventually I just said, okay, Heather, look, who's doing what now? Because I feel like you're coming out of it and you seem bored and you want to take care of some things. And personally, I'm getting a little like, what do I do, right? And then it happens again for her because I'm here every day and I can help out. And then all of a sudden the deadline where I've got to go back to work shows up, right? And it's like, see ya, you got everything now, right? Completely everything. And that becomes a really hard transition on her side, right? For me, it's a little bit easier because I get to go back to my clear-cut rules, and she can take care of all the unforeseen things that men don't see as well, right? Anyway, so I find that interesting that understanding, obviously, is going to have to come into play. And with role shifts, we need to be even more engaged in communicating. Hey, how did today work for you? What can I do to ease it up? And sometimes you're going to find that you were trying to please your spouse with making sure every toy was picked up and the kids were bathed, and that wasn't even her top priority, right? Something else was completely more on top of all those things. And you need to understand those. And it can make your job so much easier if you just be able to focus on those things rather than what you think your spouse needs or wants. And that comes through, obviously, good communication.
Yeah, absolutely. So can we agree that, like, we all have expectations? And expectation is, like, the bane of happiness, unfortunately. I love Tony Robbins' quote, trade your expectation for appreciation and you change your life. But let's face it, we all have expectations. Like, I expect this, I expect this. And our spouse has certain expectations as well. And when those expectations aren't met, and even on a deeper level, when our emotional needs, our needs, our physical, sexual, all of those like needs for connection, all of those needs aren't being met, then people tend to scramble and they'll do anything that they can to try to get them met. Whether that means going outside of the marriage, which of course is not the right choice, but they'll do what they need to get those needs met. Or whether that's withdrawing or manipulating or pleading, stonewalling, any of those kinds of things, like behaviors come up when needs aren't met, when expectations aren't met. That's when it's like the two rivers just colliding and it's a huge mess, right? And so how do we kind of calm those waters? And if your spouse is pulling away from you, which I know many, many people here in our audience, that's the situation that you're going through. How do you better understand your partner? How do you open up that communication? We're not going to spend any more time on that today because we've covered that numerous times. And I invite you to go back and listen to our other podcasts and our master classes on the PATH method that show you how to really reconnect with your spouse, how to build those bridges of communication and understanding. Just know that no matter where you're at, trying to put yourself in your spouse's shoes, trying to see things through their eyes, and knowing what's really important to them is really going to help build that understanding, to help build that even compassion for one another. Because when I'm really bothered by something that he did, or he's really bothered by something I did, but when we actually understand why it happened and why they were motivated to do that, then we can even have compassion for them, and we can work together to be able to better meet those needs, better meet those expectations. So definitely having understanding, that's always the first step, is understanding and opening up communication. Now, like I said, with the shifting your expectation to appreciation will change your life, that brings us to gratitude. And that is another pillar that I found gives us the strength so that when life challenges us and we get hit and knocked down, gratitude is one of those most healing things that we can feel. Gratitude for one another. When we can shift from it's all about me and why aren't you serving me and why aren't you doing this for me and how could you hurt me and how could you do this to me too, I'm actually really grateful this is happening. I'm really grateful I can actually find things to be grateful for in this experience, because it's opening my eyes to things I didn't see before. It's opening my heart to new awarenesses. It's showing me things that are really important to me that I didn't realize were that important before. I'm really grateful that I have this life, that I have this breath, that I have this day, I have this opportunity now to do something different, to make some new choices and move our relationship and each other in a different way. Anything you want to say about gratitude?
I agree.
You agree? Okay, amen. But gratitude is very, very healing, and I will preach at you all day about gratitude, and I do here in the Thriving Marriage, because it's truly transformative.
Well, and sorry, I guess I do have something to add, but it's actually scientifically proven that gratitude is a higher frequency in our body, and the different chemical reactions in our body help out a lot, right? Yeah. During our state of gratitude.
Right. And so it can strengthen your marriage, as I can be grateful for things about my spouse. And I know some of you here post daily gratitude about your spouse, even though things aren't going great in your marriage. And you have told me before how that has helped to completely change your perspective, to change the way that you're looking at, to change the way you're interacting with your spouse. And all right, so then that's going to bring us to the last root or pillar, but that's to surrender what you cannot control. Surrender what you cannot control and take action on what you can. So there's two parts to that. The idea of surrendering to a higher power, surrendering what you cannot control. There is so much going on in the world right now that we cannot control. Agree?
Agree.
Yeah. And like I've said, and even in the last podcast I did, was that we need to shift our focus from the things that we cannot control, which most of the time, like 90% of the time, most of us are focusing on things that we cannot control. I cannot control what my spouse does. I can't. It's impossible. I know oftentimes we want to try to control them, but we can't. And so learning to let that go, learning to surrender that, is where we find great peace. For Ben and I, we had to surrender a lot of the control as we were facing cancer and even the potential ending of my life. We couldn't control that. Of course, we knew we wanted to make it through, but the odds were honestly not in our favor. And so we just had to say, okay, you know, in our case, it was Heavenly Father. Okay, Heavenly Father, we're willing to let this go. We put it in your hands, and whatever it's going to be, it's going to be okay. And when we finally came to that place, that gave us peace and strength that we would not have had otherwise. If we were trying to control everything and stay in the worry and stay in the anxiety, it only perpetuates more anxiety and more worry. So let go of what you cannot control, and then that gives you clarity on what you do have control over, what action steps you can take right now, regardless of your circumstances. We cannot control what happens to us, but we can always choose what we're going to do about it. So, Ben, any final thoughts on how people can apply these, how they can find some healing in their marriage, in their life, in their relationships, despite what challenges they're facing?
Yeah, what comes to mind is, I'm a pilot, so I like to use a lot of analogies with perspective, right? We all drive cars, we drive around, right? And we have to see things basically flat, right? We see the earth and we can only see so far, which makes it pretty difficult. We've got to follow directions and different roads and trails, right? And we've got to have a good idea of where we're going, but we're kind of in the muck because we can't just point and go where we want, right? But as a pilot, all I have to do is follow directions until I get in the air. And then I can see where I want to go most often, right? And I just head there. I just point the nose of the plane over there and I can see with a new perspective. So for me, something that helps is get a perspective. Where is it that I'm trying to go? What am I willing to give up? And what am I absolutely not willing to give up here, right? So it's just zeroing in on your most important things, right? Is having a spouse important to you? Is having a father in your home or your spouse in your home, your mother of your children, right? And how important is that? Stuff like that, right? And then with that, kind of work backwards and see what the most important steps to get there are, right? So perspective is what I would say.
I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, and then that brings us to our marriage myth buster. And I'm going to bring this one up sensitively and hopefully not harshly. but I've heard this said, and so I feel like it needs to be addressed. I've heard it said by several of you in our conversations that I've had with you over in Messenger, and even here just in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, but I don't have time to work on my marriage, or I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. And all of that kind of language is just putting up immediate blocks, right? Those are just absolutely limiting beliefs. And they're just as strong and just as powerful as the one that I shared, Ben talked about that I had, you know, that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't deserving of love, that I had to be the perfect wife, have the perfect body. I had to be all these like perfection things in order to be worthy of love. So the idea that you don't have time to work on your marriage, you know what, right now you might have more time than ever to be able to work on things that you didn't have time before because now we're quarantined, right? Or even if you feel like I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off because whatever your job might be, you know, maybe you're even a medical professional right now, that we invest our time, our money, our resources, our energy, our focus on the things that matter most to us. And I think, like we said earlier, that one of the greatest blessings that we experienced was the perspective shift. That when you really have life turn itself on its head, you realize the things that matter most to you. And if you were to imagine that this was your last day of life on planet Earth, what are the things that would matter most to you? How would you spend your time? How would you spend your money, right? We realize that those things are so superficial compared to the things that matter most, our relationships with ourselves, with our maker, with our husband, with our wife, with our children and our family. And that how we leave this planet, the things that we give of ourselves are the only things that matter. So if you find yourself saying any of those limiting beliefs, like, I don't have money, even that one, right? Right there, that's a huge block because we can spend, it just makes me laugh sometimes because we'll spend $1,000 on an iPhone, right? But then we won't send a card to our family or something, you know? It just really illustrates that we have our perspective so off sometimes in our culture and that we need to shift that into, you know what? I'm going to make this happen no matter what. I'm going to work on this. Yeah, I might have not have as much time or money or resources or energy to give to this as I would like because I've developed these patterns so far in my life, but I'm going to start to move in that direction. I'm going to start to create more time to put my resources, to put my energy here, what matters most. And when you start to make those effective decisions, just like Ben, like this is the destination I'm going to, and I'm going to go there no matter what, then more doors and more opportunities, more you find you have more time, you have more energy, you have more money, you have everything that you want. We truly are unlimited beings. We're the ones that limit ourselves. So if you ever find yourself saying or feeling any of those, check yourself and recognize that it's just a limiting belief. you have more power and more potential than you could possibly imagine. And so just take some of that and move it into the direction that you really want to go. All right, so thank you so much, Ben, for joining us today. If you're really serious about having a happy, thriving marriage, if you want more help with this, if you want to help overcome some of those limiting beliefs that are showing up for you in your life, if you really want to reconnect with your spouse and allow us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have, these once-in-a-lifetime probably opportunities that life's giving to us right now, then I invite you to book a complimentary consultation with us. And you can do that over at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. That's highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And you can have a completely free conversation with us on how we might be able to help you at this time. So next week, Mark and I are going to be back on together, and we're going to share with you how to overcome emotional distancing. We talked a little bit about that today, but we're going to go really deep in that on our next podcast next week. So again, thank you so much, Ben, for joining us. We honor you and we appreciate all of you, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.